This topic has been gnawing at me for some time. And now, listen to me. This is one of those topics that it's a hard one to cover, but it's very important. And it's one of those topics that's been gnawing at me forever. And here's why. I think I made this comment a while back, and I want you to get this. Everybody look at me just a second. I've got so many plans for this year of things we talk about and we're going to go into. Some things God will not release my heart from because we cannot seem to get right. And so it's not an anger. It's not a correction. It's a, there's certain topics I have to continue to cover until we get it right. It's just like if you're going into, well, we'll use a morning illustration. If you're going into basic training and you fail a certain course, but you don't get thrown out, guess what happens to you? You get recycled. And you do it again. And if you fail again, what happens to you? You get recycled. So sometimes we have courses we have to be recycled on, and that's okay. But if you're going through a recycle course, buddy, pay attention. Now, this is a new message, but it's a theme we've covered before, and you will understand why. And this is what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to be real. As you listen to this, I'm asking every one of you. No one here has any permission to think about anybody else during this sermon. Okay? Apply it to your heart. Think hard on this. Because I know as Christians, we all have this problem. But I know we need this here. All right? So listen close. And let's be honest with ourselves and wake up. How many of you have ever... I'll tell you what. Let's start with prayer since this is a biggie before I get... dug in, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask you to open our hearts and our minds and just let us know how much you love us and how, Lord, you want us to grow in you. Anoint, I pray. Bring the message out the way you want it. Let it be in your power. In Christ's name, amen. How many of you have ever read a scary story or seen a comedy or a scary movie and somebody made a deal with the devil? There was I think 2000 or 2001, there was a movie that came out called Bedazzled. Anybody seen that? Where a guy met, and Satan was good looking though. That won't right. But the whole thing was about him what? Making a deal with the devil. We've seen a lot of movies that way. And now, you know, in some crowds, I'd be scared to say this, but I'm hoping on Sunday morning I can say this. How many of you would just honestly, knowingly, if you knew you could get something out of it, sign a deal and shake hands with the devil right now? Okay, ushers, you can stand down. Nobody has to be removed. No, just kidding. All right, I was hoping I'd get that answer. But now listen. And this is, you guys know me, Mr. Happy, Mercy, Grace. This is one of those things where we're going to have to really think through. And we're going to have this balance. Everything that I talk about today, it's going to be what we can do for God and what we should try to do in love. And I want everyone to understand, those of you that haven't been here before, there is nothing that you can do to earn your right or your place in heaven or to earn God's love. He did it all. Nothing you have to do. I had this talk with a friend this week. It's anything we do for God is simply because we realize who He is and how awesome He is and what He deserves, and we do it just because we love Him. But the fact is, if you love somebody, there's going to be signs. And if I was married to my wife, but I kept running around and kept tabs with every girlfriend I've ever had and did what I wanted and made my own way, you'd begin to say, well, no, she didn't marry you because of what you've done, but boy, you're sure not proving your love by what you're doing, right? Same thing with God. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about here today, because here's a problem. You don't plan on making deals with the devil, okay? You don't plan on making deals with Satan. But the power of, in this old-fashioned word, but it's so important, sin. Sin is just doing what we know God would frown on. And if God frowns on it, He frowns on it for this reason. It would hurt you or it would hurt somebody else, but it's put in a package as though it would be the best thing and you trust yourself instead of God and you do it anyway. That's all sin is, okay? It's not trusting God at His word and choosing your way over His. We wouldn't make a deal with Satan, no. But the problem, the power in sin is this. It's so subtle. And especially Sin is at its best. Listen to me. This is where we have a problem. This is where I feel called. And I don't have specifics and I won't have names on the board. But sin is at its most powerful form in secrecy. Now, we've talked about things we need to get rid of in our lives, but I'm talking even one step deeper than that. I'm talking things that no one, maybe not even your spouse, knows that's going on with you. Things you've got going on in your heart that you know are against God that you have just embraced in here that nobody else knows about. And some of us work pretty hard at keeping it hidden. And here's how it hit me. This is what I would call it if I had to illustrate it. Ninjutsu Senna, right? Here's why. What you think when you see ninja? Huh? Sneaky, secretive, unseen. Nobody can catch them, right? They can sneak around. Do you know how many people are ninjutsu sinners? And it's looking all good, but on the inside, what else is a ninja good at? They're sneaky. They can sneak in undetected, but what are they there to do? To kill. Do you know how many Christians on the inside are harboring things that are bent on destroying them or other people, and it just hasn't hatched yet? But they're being ninjutsu about it. They're sneaky. They've hidden it from the whole world. Nobody knows behind that smiling face. Many people in this room right now, doggone absolute guarantee, a lot of us. And we don't believe that the end thereof is going to be problems and it's going to be death to us or somebody else. So we keep hiding it. We're wonderful ninjas. The problem is, listen to this. If you're trying to get away with something, listen to me. If you're trying to get away with something on the inside, here it is. If you walk around all day trying to look at all the wrong things, and instead of trying to guard your heart, you just try not to get caught looking at the wrong thing, then is your heart in the right place? You might look good to the world, but are you having faith and love in Jesus Christ, or are you just seeing what you can get away with? If you walk around all day hiding how angry and irritated you are at everybody, if you walk around all day hiding the things you do when no one else is around because it won't hurt anybody else because it's just me, if you spend all your time hiding these things and you say, well, it won't hurt anybody, it's just me. Well, that's just great, but let me ask you a question. If that's what you're doing, then on the inside, do you have real love and faith? Or are you just trying to get by with what you can get by and save face? And too many people are ninjutsu sinners and they just keep stuff in their heart. There is no real love for Jesus Christ when you come down to it. It's just, I want to hide everything and make the right waves in front of everybody so I'll be accepted and go on with my life. And we begin to feel like we've fooled so many people, God's okay with us. And we just, and I'm not saying it to get us in trouble. What I'm saying it for is this. We miss so much of God. Okay? So one, is your faith even real? But what you do secretly that nobody knows about, literally, here's the deal. You can give. You can work hard. You can be the number one person at church. You can have an awesome, powerful ministry that affects thousands. You can do all these things and you can look great and you can be righteous. But guess where your real level of intimacy with God is? You are only as righteous as your secrets. You are only as close to God as you are on the inside where you've got it hidden. As you are when you're home alone, what do you do then? That's how close you are to God. That's what He really means to you. And this is not guilt. And this is not, you guys know, it's not God standing there with a lightning bolt. It's God lovingly saying, listen to me, you're breaking my heart. I want you to love me that way. I want to be your all in all. I want you to see that you're not loving me. It's not Him saying, thou art a sinner. That's not God, okay? It's God being your beloved heartbroken that's saying, I'm doing everything to show you how much I love you. Why won't you love me back? Why is it that every time somebody else is not around that you're trying to impress, that you do anything that you want? Why won't you just do it because you love me? And it's not to win His favor. You've got His favor. He adores you. But it's to prove to him once and for all, he really is the whole reason you're doing what you're doing. And what you're harboring in here that not another person in this room knows about but you says just how close you really are to God. Now, do we all mess up? Of course we do. We're going to mess up every day of our life. That has nothing to do with who you've allowed yourself to become in here, right? It's a different story. Your secrets tell who you really are with God. And I want you to look. I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures real fast. They won't even be on the board. I want you to listen to what determined God's intimacy with people from all the way back in the Old Testament, from Genesis all the way up to the New Testament in Acts after Jesus. Genesis 6:9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Blameless doesn't mean he didn't do anything wrong. It means that in his heart he was trying his best to stay close to God. Blameless means I might mess up every day, but I come back and say, God, I'm doing my best for you. You know I am. Forgive me. I'm going to try my best again tomorrow. That's blameless. I'm never giving up, God. I'm going to try my best for you. Job 2:3. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited him against me to destroy him without a reason. Acts 13:23, New Testament. This is Luke talking about how God viewed David. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. Man, he'll do anything I ask him to. He loves me that much. It's so easy to give people lip service. But the truth comes out in how much you love somebody and what you're willing to do for them. It's not I'm a sinner, I'm not a sinner. It's do I love God enough to give him all he gave me? And only you know on the inside if you're doing that. And we can look good and we can get more active and we can be a given church and we can have activity programs. And we're not pleasing God if we're harboring on the inside everything but him. And we're never going to hear his word if we're harboring everything on the inside but him. And we're never really going to be happy. And the problem is, okay, so you come to know God and you get just enough of God that you leave all the stuff that you had fun with, but you don't really in your heart give him everything and you're still holding on in here and the rest of the world doesn't see it. Well, you know what? Now you don't really have the real relationship and true joy and power from God, but yet you gave up half of the old stuff you loved. That's a miserable place to be. I'd say go to hell in a handbasket. Go have fun. Because if you're going to be halfway, you ain't doing nothing. And if you're going to live for God, then be sold out for him like he sold out for you. Just because. If you'll do it as a gift to him, no other reason. Oh, well, I got to act right or God will get mad at me. No, he won't. How about I've got to do right because I love my God and I want him to know. How about that? Now, when you get beyond all that we do and all that we say for the sake of everybody else, and you get past everything the world sees, you get this, 1 Corinthians 4:5. He will bring to light things that are now hidden in darkness and will make known the secret purposes of people's hearts. If God knows the secret purpose of your heart right now, what you really lust after, whether you're just hiding things and looking good for the rest of the world or whether you're really trying to live for him, even if we fail, if he could look at the secrets of your heart right this minute, what would God think of your heart? Meaning, how many of you right now have something that you know you hide in your heart instead of dealing with it, and you feel like you're okay because you're not hurting anybody else, but you've never given your heart to God? That's a big deal. If you look at the word compromise, this is what it means. To make concessions in order to gain something. Right? If I'm going to compromise with you, then we're both going to get something out of it. I'm going to give a little, I'm going to get a little, right? Okay, we say we won't have a deal with the devil. We won't shake his hand. But a compromise is exactly that. Now listen, and this is what Satan does with us every single day in so many ever so little ways. Now, I can throw a bunch of theology at you all day, and it doesn't mean anything unless we bring it home where the rubber meets the road. So we're going to get real for a few minutes. And I want you to test your heart with some of the things that we say. If you listen, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Do you compromise in these ways? And this is just to ring our bells. You know, it might be things I don't even talk about. But do you often talk about other people's problems rather than to that person? Sometimes because you got prayer requests. How many of you run around and talk to everybody about how somebody did you, but you don't ever talk to that person? Do you realize you're compromising? You're making a deal with Satan? Are you helping anybody? No. You're making yourself look good. You're scratching your own back at the expense of someone else. You're not helping that person because you're not telling them. You're not trying to make them do any better. You're just running your mouth and flapping your jaws. You're compromising every time you do it. Some of you live to tell the next story that you know. Everybody slips up. If it's your mode of operation, you've compromised. You shook hands with Satan. This is your thing, and you haven't tried to deal with it. It's just who you are. How many people have told so many little white lies that now you can just lie and not even think about it? And you've pretty much made it a regular thing to lie because you'd rather lie than face consequences or get in trouble. You'd be surprised how many Christians have compromised with that. All right, listen to me. How many of you that are married have made it a habit out of disrespecting your spouse in public? In oh so little ways. Cut eyes, smart attitude, cut downs, not listening. I see every day right here in church in front of a pastor or an elder, spouses so badly disrespect each other that it's ridiculous. If you'll do that at church, what do you do at home? What do you do in front of other people? If that's become your way, if you put your pride and yourself above your spouse and loving them and serving them whom God says you are responsible to, you've compromised. If that's become your way of life, you're not walking for God. You're fooling everybody. The problem is, you might not be fooling anybody if that's what you're doing. And it's sad, but it's where we are. Students and adults that are in school, how about cheating in small ways? How about holding on to anger and resentment in your heart that nobody knows about? Some of you got lots of reasons to be bitter and resentful. And you'll tell the whole world that everything is all good, and you'll praise God, and you'll sing songs, but in your heart you stay mad and resentful all the time. And it's in its infancy stage right now. It's just a little egg. But you know it's in there, and you hide it. How many of you allow yourself to flirt emotionally and even physically with inappropriate conversation and touch and eyes? Oh my gosh, what you can do with eyes, and the rest of the world couldn't say a word to you. You didn't say anything out of the way. You didn't touch anybody. You're all good. But how much can you say with eyes? And again, it's not, boy, you're going to hell. It's, you might very well be a God-blessed, heaven-bound son of God, but in your heart, you're never going to be close to God like you should be because you're harboring sin and you're compromising with Satan and you're taking away everything God wants to do with you. You can't have fellowship with Him because you're focused on something in the world. And what you got to understand is anything and everything that you give up in this world, it's not like, oh, God's such a bummer. It's God's program is so cool and so awesome that you would have so much more if you trusted and you put honor in the right things and lust in the right things and hope in the right things. Life is so much more awesome. But we think that we've got a better plan, and so we compromise. Let me ask you this. How many people in this room will claim that they love God, and they're trying, but they'll still get intoxicated? They'll still hit a little weed. They'll still take a controlled drug and say, well, it's nothing wrong. It's a controlled drug. It's not illegal. You'd be surprised how many Christians think that's okay. And based on no other level than God says, don't fall amongst men, you got no excuse. But you can't tell me those things don't lead deeper. You can't tell me you think you're okay with God when you do it. But I have had people come and tell me and confess and cry and, oh man, I love God and I want to change everything. And months and months and months later in their life, I know that they're getting high every chance they got. And I'm not saying not anything about whether that'll send you to hell. What I'm saying is, if you're sitting there telling me you really want to live for God and this is where your heart is, you're lying. And just because no one knows about it doesn't mean you're okay. What I'm trying to tell you is these things that are in your heart, they're not displeasing God and sending you to hell. These things that are in your heart tell you where your heart really is, and you just need to stand up and take note. It's not you better get right before God. It's why don't you be honest with yourself and tell yourself you don't love Him? Do you see the difference in what I'm trying to say? I'm not condemning you before God because God's not condemning you. He's hoping you'll love Him more. I'm trying to let you know that by making the choices and hiding the things that you're hiding, you're just saying you don't really love Him and you don't even realize it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And it's a hard line to walk to tell you all these things in our life that we're taking instead of God and still not try to let you see that, no, you're not being condemned. It's you should be condemning yourself for the same reason as though you were married and yet being unfaithful to your spouse every day. Well, suppose she came and told you, well, I'll not leave you anyway. I love you so much. Okay, now it's not a matter of whether you're going to drive her off. It's a matter of, do you love her? When are you going to stop hurting her? When are you going to stop hiding things from her and breaking her heart and doing things you know she would hate just because you can get away with it? How many of us do that? And then we wonder why we don't have intimacy with God. Because we don't really want it. You're fooling yourself. How many people in this room regularly, almost every time you go online, go and hang out in spots that you know you shouldn't? And, you know, some of you are brand new here and you've never been here and you don't know me, and I'm not one of these pastors that's you shouldn't, you shouldn't, you shouldn't, don't, guilt, guilt, guilt. I'm the first one to tell you, man, Jesus loves you to death and He's got an awesome program, and coming to Christ is the best time of my life. But what I'm trying to let everybody see is we're hiding things that keep us from having that love. And we just have to face ourselves. Do you know that as far back as 2008, the Promise Keepers took a poll with men across America that would say they were Christians? Now listen to this. We're human beings, I know. There is nothing wrong with thinking the opposite sex is gorgeous. God kind of made you that way. There's a difference between that and lust and covet. I can watch a Ferrari drive down the road and say, that is one awesome car. That's a difference between never wanting my car again and being mad every day because of the car I got and selling everything I got and ruining my life hoping I can go buy a Ferrari because I don't want my car anymore. There's a big difference in it. 40% of men that attended Promise Keepers say they were Christian. 40% of them that would admit it say they are addicted to pornography, because it's so easy and it's free and nobody will catch them. The problem with that is it destroys your whole intimacy level with your spouse. It destroys the way you look at and respect someone else. There are states that are trying to get laws against pornography because it has done so much to damage the structure of the state. It has caused so much disrespect and marital infidelity. God knows what He's talking about. I'm going to tell you something. I've been 30 years with the same woman, and because God has worked very hard, and I can fall tomorrow, and I had a rough start because my dad was into pornography, and I know both sides of the coin, but God has kept us with eyes for each other through the years, and I have more love and more excitement for that woman today than I have in 30 years because we haven't let thoughts of other people creep in and take away the desire. And I hate to be so transparent, but you need to know. God's plan is more on fire and intimate than anything you could get with the world of pornography. But that cheapens life so much that you lose what real awesome intimacy is. 40% of Christian men admit in private to being addicted. 70% admit to having a problem. 70%. Yet we think we're doing okay and we act like we're living for God, and we're not. This is not to condemn us. This is to say 70% of Christian men with just one sin alone say they haven't really given their heart completely to God and become His warrior because they don't trust His plan. And because they don't trust His plan, they've missed it all. They miss more excitement, more fun, more intimacy, more trust. But the biggest thing they've missed is not giving their heart completely to Him and hiding their sin instead. They become a ninjutsu sinner and they've lost everything they could have with God, much less with their spouse. Because they would rather harbor and hide the sin than to just admit to God and find out what He's really got for them. Because He's got an awesome plan. He's pretty rocking. And for those of you that didn't realize it, he made sex. He's pretty cool. So that means he's got a better plan if you just trust him. He knows what everything was made for. He's got a better plan. How many of these areas are we all giving our heart? In substance abuse, in infidelity in our hearts, in anger and bitterness, in selfishness and pride that we're holding on the inside and to the rest of the world. We're just pretty old Christians. We look good and we're doing a lot for the church. You know, if all I cared about was growing this church, then all I would teach you is health and wealth, and I would ask you and beg you to keep smiling and keep the pretty profile on the outside, because if we all look successful, we can bring some more people in here and we can rock this joint. And that makes me sick to my stomach, and it probably does to God too, because that's not what you're supposed to be about. And I don't give a hoot about what you look like on the outside or how good we do as a church. What I care about is that one day when I stand before God, you will have heard something that might make you change the hidden secrets in your heart, and you truly find an intimacy with Him and find out what He's all about that you never knew. If we stayed at 20 people the rest of our life as a church, and those 20 people really, truly found intimacy with God, it would be better than a church of 5,000 plastic phonies that looked good to the outside world and never did anything in here but hide it. I don't want you to hide it. I don't want to teach you all the pretty great Christian ways we can look good to the world. I want you to get real. And I know through experience, through counseling, through signs, that we're not. And I'm not beating us up for it. I'm trying to tell you, let's just be honest and let's dig in and let's get real, because Jesus has so much more. And we just got to get down and dirty about it and make it right and love Him like we say we love Him. Okay, the definition of compromise was make concessions in order to gain something. Now, we're going to get in some detail here. You give to get, okay? Now, let's take a look at just a minute what the exchange is here, because we regularly compromise. What do you get out of a deal with Satan, even though you don't realize you're doing it? Sometimes you get monetary material gain. Okay? Chasing after things instead of God. There's nothing wrong with having stuff, but does stuff have you? Sometimes you get popularity and influence. A lot of times you get popularity and influence. But a lot of times, most of the time, it's because you're looking for self-pleasure. You're looking for temporary enjoyment. You're looking for what'll wind your clock. And you think you got a better program than God, and you don't want to let it go. Period. That's just the bottom line. So for a short time, you're going to get monetary gain or popularity or some pleasure. And what are you going to give away in small ways? First of all, I told you, it shows the condition of your heart. Luke 12:34, wherever your treasure is, listen close to this, people. Some of you have heard it many times. Some of you have never heard it. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will also be. So what do your thoughts always go back to? What do you always look forward to? What is your treasure? Where is your money and time invested in? And God's like, there you go. Is it me? God ought to be your everything. He's the treasure you found. He's number one. Everything else in life you can enjoy in moderation. God put things on earth for us to enjoy. But if anything and everything is what you think about and spend all your time and money chasing after, and it ain't God, you're not loving Him the way He loves you. Compromise takes away the very relationship with God, first and foremost. John 15:14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And that's not some narcissist that says, you better do it or you don't love me. It's the God that came and did it all for you first. And He's saying, if you love me, you'll have the same sacrifice. That's what He's saying. Matthew 12:50, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. For whoever talks about the will of my Father, for whoever looks good, as though they're doing the will of my Father? Nope. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven are my brothers, sisters, and mothers. Not because it won them that right, but because if you don't love Him with your whole heart, you're not His brother or His sister. And He's saying, if you love me, you'll be on board. John 14:23. And by the way, He's got a right to say that when He made it all and He put breath in your lungs and He knows the better way and He knows you'll self-destruct if you don't listen to Him. He's not just trying to have His way. He just knows what you'll do if you don't follow His way. Just like if you have a child that's 2 years old and you're telling them what to do, they can look at you in clenched fists and be the 2-year-old brat and say, I'm not going to do it. You're mean. How many of you have ever heard your child say, Daddy, mean, Mommy, mean? You look mean to them because you won't let them have what they want. And you look like a stick in the mud. just like our immaturity God. But what's the truth? You know a lot more than them, and you know if they won't listen to your way, they're going to get hurt, right? Well, let's see. God's a pretty big boy. He knows more than we do. And when he tells us something, it's not because he's a narcissist trying to have his way. It's because he knows what he's talking about. And he says, if you love me, you're going to trust me because I'm doing it for you. But we won't do it. We're two-year-olds. John 14, 23. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him. And we will make our home with him. Stop. When will he say he will come to you and make his home with you? When you will do what? When you will keep his word. Because by keeping his word, you say, I really do love you. And when he realizes you really do love him, he'll come and show himself to you in ways you won't dream. And that's the truth. Seen it. Experienced it. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So for a time, when you're just hiding stuff, you can lose closeness and joy and peace of mind and direction and self-worth and everything that would make you an awesomely happy human being because you traded in for a few hidden secrets that are really getting you nothing but frustration in life. Do you realize that? You trade everything you could possibly have for worth as a human being in the eyes of God for a few fleeting dumb things that are going to get you nowhere but frustrated anyway. And you keep them hidden and think you've got something going on and you've given it all up. And you got to understand that. Every little concession that we make puts a barrier up between us and God. Not because he doesn't love us, not because he's not still there, not because he's not still walking with you. You put the barrier up. You say, nope, rather have this. Nope, rather have this. Nope, rather have this. And the last thing you want is God. You want all these other things first. And you don't realize what you're missing. How many people in this room right now, you walk alone and you walk frustrated because you've got such senseless things hidden in your heart and you won't deal with them because nobody else knows about them and you think you're okay? And what happens is this. You create this never-ending battle in your heart. And you're constantly fighting over the things that you're keeping because you know it's keeping you from God. And every day is a struggle and a decision. Do I follow what I want or do I follow and do good for God today? And so you stay like this. James 1:7. For that person must not suppose he's going to receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. How many battles do you fight every day in frustration because you simply won't just get rid of it and replace it with God? Luke 16:10, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in very much. Do you agree with that? If you'll steal a pat of butter from the cafeteria, you've already proven you'll steal. And if I watch you steal it, am I going to put you in charge of my finances? No. Why? Because that little thing that you just did, I just saw your heart. And God says, if you won't trust me with the simple little things that you hide in your heart, why do you think I want to give you more? You've already proven I can't trust you. And we're going to stay right where we are until you learn to be trusted, and then I'll give you so much more. No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. And so many of us have powerless lives because of these little compromises. Now, even if you could take whatever's in your heart that you've been sitting here listening and saying, oh, gosh, you got it picked. Even if you could keep whatever's in your heart at the level it is now and you could keep it hidden forever, which you probably won't. And even if it didn't even hurt you or hurt your relationships now, which it does. What does living like this do for the unbeliever that you could be working to save and help? That you say you love so much. If you hide things from the church and you hide things from your friends, but you got these close friends that know the real part of you and they see how you act and they see what you do, and then the day comes that you're the only one that might ever represent Christ to them, they're going to not want anything to do with him. Romans 14:12. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide not to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. The person you're practicing that secret sin with, the person you're partying with, the person you're flirting with, you might be the only person that ever has the brand name of Jesus Christ on your forehead that they ever get close to. And if you're having that relationship with them, you have ruined any chance they will ever trust who Jesus Christ is. Does that make sense? Is anybody listening to me? The person you made googly eyes to, because you don't know them and they don't know you, and you're free to flirt because you don't know each other, and they show up at church next week and you finally realize, oh my gosh, it's them. What have you done? Yeah. You've ruined everything of the image of Christ to them. Proverbs 4:16. They cannot sleep unless they've done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they've made someone stumble. Unfortunately, some of us live that way as Christians, and then we hide it. Matthew 18:7. Listen close to this one. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come. God's saying the world's going to tempt you because I want to see your heart. But woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. God's saying, we got enough people in the world that don't love me to bring the temptation. Why in the world do you want to be one of them? Because he won't put up with it for so long because he loves us. Now here's what happens. As if all of what we lose at this level wasn't enough. Oh, people, if I could tell you, for years and years and years, I worked with youth and counseled with youth before I became a pastor, and then later on working with and counseling with adults. As if all the loss when you hide stuff in your heart wasn't enough because you never really come to know the awesomeness of Jesus. Small compromises that you keep in your heart, 100% guaranteed, never remain small. Did you get me? Can I get a witness? Nothing you hide in your heart for a long stays hidden in your heart. Nobody takes a drink of alcohol and then begins to drink more and more with the intention of becoming an alcoholic. Nobody plays a slot machine with the intention of losing everything they have to gambling. Things done in moderation are okay, but people that harbor problems and sins in their life, nobody thinks one click on an improper site is going to be what leads them to complete porn addiction that ruins their family. Nobody tries a drug one time saying, man, I hope I get hooked and sell everything I have and lose my family and die in a gutter. You don't say that. You start small, and it builds. Now, I want you to see how it escalates. I'm going to give you a verse, and we're going to walk through it. And I want you to see where you might be with this progression, because it's scary. Listen to me. Here's the verse. James 1:14-15. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what class? Death. Okay, now let's break it down. Okay, and now I used this acronym years and years and years ago, but for this part of what I'm going to say, I can't think of a better way to bring it up. And I'm just going to throw it out there as corny as it is. Are you ready? I'm going to give you a tip. Give you a tip on how sin progresses. Cute acronym, but it's dead serious, and I want you to understand it. Okay? A, tell me if you're here. Well, don't tell me. Tell yourself. Admiration. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by what? His own desires and enticed. You know something's forbidden. You know, it's so funny. God, let me tell you how God is not a party pooper. The original plan was, you can have it all and do it all. There's just one little tree in the whole world. You just don't touch it. Anything else you do is nothing's offline. You can do it all. What becomes the one thing you want to do? I got to have that tree. It's our human nature. We know something's forbidden. We know it's not good for us. So we entertain the thought often. We begin to admire it. Man, what's so special about that? Why'd God tell me not to do that? You linger on inappropriate pictures. You linger on sights that pop up. You see friends partying like you used to, and you think, man, I miss that. You admire. Gosh, I miss hanging out and doing those things. You imagine all the hurtful things you would like to say to that person at work. How many people have actually literally sat down and just gone through with pleasure everything you'd like to say and do to that person that you go to school with or you work with? How many people have experienced in your mind the feeling of the esophagus crush as you tighten your grip? You know what that is? That's admiring sin in your heart that no one knows about. Because you laughed, you've been there. And you think, while you think about the old party, and while you click on that site that you shouldn't, while you do nothing but hate the people around you in your heart, but it doesn't bother anybody, I got it under control. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not ruining my witness. It's all in my mind. I'll deal with it. First, you're dead wrong because it's not all in your mind. I just showed you, you're destroying your relationship with Christ. But that's only the beginning. Because after admiration comes T, and that is taste. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Anything you entertain regularly in here is going to surface. Okay? You're going to go to an inappropriate site, and you're going to hang out there. Or you'll flirt. Or you'll begin to lust after those people and carry it to the next level, those ones you gave eye contact to and they gave a little back. Or you're going to go to just one party because it's going to be like, just for old time's sake, one time won't hurt. Or you're going to lose it on that person just one time. I just want to let them have it one time. They deserve it. You're just going to get a taste. And you've been thinking about it. It doesn't happen unless you've thought about it. Okay? The flirting doesn't happen unless you thought about it. The explosion on somebody doesn't happen unless you've sat and you've agonized over how bad you want to kill them and you've admired it in your mind. The partying doesn't just happen unless you've looked and thought, man, I missed that. So you admire for a while and then you're only going to admire so long if you don't do something about it and trust God and love Him before you're going to taste. And then the eye. Indulge. And sin, when it is full grown, after you taste of something, after you click on that site one time and then you just write it out for all it's worth, you know why? You know what a lot of people say? You don't have to say amen. You click on the site and you dive in and you say, well, I've messed up now. I might as well enjoy it now because I'm here. He's already mad at me. I'll repent in the morning. You ever been there? Yeah. You're indulging now. You go to the next step and you taste it. Here's what happens. Now, please listen to me, because you had to get through these steps to get to a certain point. You ever done something and you feel so bad the first time, you just want to commit suicide and you're just a nervous wreck and you're shaking all over and you just know the whole world knows and you're going to get struck down by lightning tomorrow and then nothing happens. And so you do it again later and it's not quite as guilty this time. And then you do it again later and it's not quite as guilty. And then before long, each step is easier and you indulge a little more. And it's just a way of life. And to visit those sites now becomes a daily habit. It's just what I do. It's okay. I'm hiding it. It's all right. It's cool. Or I have seen people in this family have seen really good people that start out trying a drug, getting drunk a few times, harmless, and now they live and breathe and steal and fight and betray and lie and do whatever they can for one more. Or, and their whole life is tainted by it, and every relationship is tainted by it, and everything they do or say is tainted by it because they went beyond that guilt and indulged. or that person that you just couldn't stand in your own mind, but you hit it, and then you finally just couldn't stand it anymore, and you just let go on somebody, and you're like, man, that felt good. Man, they backed off. Man, there's something here. So you indulged, and you decided, you know, I've taken it long enough. I'm not going to put up with people's junk anymore. And suddenly, you are totally intolerant of stupid people. And you're going to tell everybody just how it is every time. I used to work with a lady that was the most bitter person I'd ever seen. And I finally had to stop and ask her one day. I'm like, what is the deal? Why? How can you be this miserable? And she said, oh, I used to be sweet like other people. And people walked all over me. And one day, this is a true story, in the grocery line, a lady just came right up and stepped in front of me like I wasn't there. And I had had enough. And I went off on her and it changed my life. I decided that's the way I was going to be. And I'm like, so she admired, she tasted, and it was good. So she indulged until it became who she was, right? And now she can give you the old story. Well, that's just who I am. Just how I am. No, I'm sorry, that ain't who you were. You had to work on that to get there. First Timothy 4:2, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. After so long, your conscience is gone. You just don't think about it anymore. You did that to yourself. It didn't happen overnight. You weren't born that way. You beat it. You stomped it down. And then P, it's the bad one. Possession. And I don't mean demon possessed, although. What are the last few words? And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. It's when you finally have become so obsessed and porn has become such a part of your life. And I'm only bringing up certain key issues because I know they exist. There's many more things beyond what I'm admitting to you guys that happens to Christians that you might find your own that I haven't mentioned. But these are the big hitters. Porn becomes such a thing that it ruins your desire and your respect for your mate, and you lose your relationship. Death. Or you begin such a pattern of secret sexual encounters that it destroys the love you've created. Death. Or you can't stop using drugs and alcohol. You can't get away from it. It is identified with who you are. It is part of your life, and you will do anything to have that above friends, above family, above God, above whatever it costs you, above who it hurts. But it's not a problem. It's just the way I chose to live. Yeah, it's a problem. You wouldn't live that way. And people, I'm not speaking from stupidity. I've been there. Possession, you finally become bitter and hateful and short-tempered. And it becomes your new norm. And you're miserable. And it ruins your walk and it ruins your witness and it ruins your heart. And you stay upset all the time. Because, yeah, you're putting people in their place, but now all you're doing is looking for a reason to put people in their place. So you no longer walk in joy. You always walk in hatred because you got one more thing to condemn and one more thing to control and one more person to tell off until you are now living in death. Because what was hidden in your heart, you harbored it so long, it became who you were. It doesn't start overnight. Or you disrespect your spouse so much and so often and demand your way so long that it becomes your way and it becomes death to your relationship and your whole family. Everything, look at me people, everything that you say and do has implications on other people. It is not just you in this world. And you're a sad excuse if you think everything you harbor in your heart and everything you think and everything you do is only about you. If you're that self-righteous and that dumb, I feel sorry for you because every person here is interlinked with someone else and you are not your own person. I don't care what you think. Everything that goes through your mind that you harbor will affect someone else, even if they never know what you've got in your head. Do you understand that? Your thoughts affect who you are. Your thoughts affect how you interact. Your thoughts affect how you love. Your thoughts affect how you act. And if no other reason than not letting you get close to Christ, it changes who you are and how you affect other people. Right or wrong? Can I get a witness from anybody? I'm going to take your silence as complete guilt if you stay this quiet. So, very quickly, and I'll just run through this, but I don't want to tell you, hey, you know, this is the steps. Did you find yourself in them? Because I know that there's people that are on the last rung of some of these steps. I know that there's a lot of us on the first couple of rungs. And where's the end to the ladder? Death. So I can't very well throw it out there and show you how much cancer we got and show you that we're not close to Christ and we're breaking his heart and he's not mad at us, but he sure wishes we would just put him first and then not give you an idea of what he tells us to do to get there. Because there's a very biblical, very practical instruction for these slippery slopes. God's got a way for us to stay close to him and to take that ground back and to become close to him and trust him and clear it out in here. Again, I'll go back to what we talked about this morning. To become the best soldier that I can be, to become the best Marine that I can be, the first course of basic training is to tear down everything that I was. To remove everything that I was. That's why the first few letters you get from basic training from your soldier or your Marine are, I'm scum, I'm a worm, I'll never make it, life is over. And then after they try to take everything out of you, then they put new stuff in. God has a really hard time emptying us so he can fill us up with himself. So how do you stand firm in a world that wants you to compromise? How do you keep God the center? How do you not let these things take over your life? Here's God's pattern. I'm going to give you the first one real easy. Yeah, just be honest before God. How many of you think that you got something you've hidden from everybody in church and even from your spouse, your kids, and your cat doesn't even know when they sit in your lap? How many of you think you fooled God? Because you didn't get struck down and you're not ash today doesn't mean God didn't see it. Doesn't mean he's not heartbroken. Because you get away with it has nothing to do. The long-suffering in God, if you've been doing something wrong for 20 years, the long-suffering is that God has still got hopes that one day he'll be number one in your heart. Honesty before God starts here with this. God, I have chosen something else over you. And even though the rest of the world might not know it, you're not number one in my life. And you don't even have to tell anybody else the truth, but God knows it. And you got to start with, God, you're not number one. Because you fooled yourself a long time. You can do and be anything you want on the inside as long as the rest of the world doesn't see it. And as long as you look good to the rest of the world on the outside, you can even fool yourself into saying, God's number one. You just got to break down and say, no, I know. I've gone through the symptoms. I've got the disease. God's not number one. Period. That's the first thing you got to do, okay? Because he knows anyway, and you're going to need his help. And Matthew 5, 6, back it up one, would you? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Listen, look, you are never expected to arrive on your own. You can't do it. All he wants you to do is have the open, honest desire and then tell him you can't do it and he'll carry you the rest of the way. Did you get that? You just tell him, Lord, I'm a dirt bag. I'm so caught up in myself, I could never put you first. And I'll admit you ain't first. I'll admit I'm not living for you. Help me. You be honest and he'll do it. But you got to start there. Two, this is a biggie. We kind of talked about it this morning. Learn scriptures concerning your struggle. In other words, there's a whole book. God says you got one offensive weapon, scriptures. There's a whole book that'll tell you everything you need to know probably about your problem. How much do you even know the Bible says about it? Go in and read about your problems. Ephesians 6, 7, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus, every time Satan came at him with something, what would he do? He'd quote scripture because he had an answer. We should do the same. Now, the next one's hard, but if you're in trouble, it's going to really help you. Get you an accountability partner. I started in 1993, and for years and years and years, and I've still got one. I had an accountability partner, someone that I could come to and just puke.
Let me tell you what I did.
And then they would lovingly throat punch me and then pick me back up and tell me what I was standing to lose and what I shouldn't do anymore. But to tell somebody about it made it real, because if you don't tell anybody about it, it's your hidden secret and it's not real, right? The minute you become accountable to somebody, now it's real. I tell you, pair up with somebody and promise each other, if it takes me 20 years, I'll never give up on you and I'll never get mad at you. I'm going to help you through it. And then be honest with them. Because Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man or woman sharpens another. But we want to be the Lone Ranger. We don't want to tell anybody, because I got to look successful and in control at all times. The greatest thing a Christian can do is look unsuccessful and out of control. Then maybe you can get some help. If we come to church and we got to be successful and in control, go home. Church ain't about that. Could care less. I like it when we come to Sunday school and people are telling us they have so many problems. We're like, whoa, don't tell us all this at once. You're killing me. That's good. Be honest. Be real. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And that's not just physical healing. To confess and pray for one another helps us through it. Number four, you ready for this one? It's the only place you're going to hear this when you're trained in combat. It's okay to be chicken. Not a problem. Let me tell you what I mean. You know it ain't standing up for Christ. You better stand up for Christ if they use you for a wick lantern. But it's okay to be chicken, meaning this. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. 1 Timothy 6:11. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Here's what it means. It means if you can't be around that person without being lustful and flirting, then it's not your responsibility to witness to them about Christ. Run. Get away from them. Okay? If you got something for auburn-haired, green eyes, and she's in the next cubicle, then you go tell the next woman in there, hey, you need to win her to Christ because I ain't talking to her. Okay? Run. If you can't handle cable TV without watching porn, get rid of it. Who gives a hoot if you don't have cable TV? Oh, Lord, help me. Maybe you'll take up something like skydiving or something else healthy like that that's exciting. Or maybe you'll go out and witness to people and love on them. Maybe you'll go fix somebody's car or shovel their driveway or go love on your spouse and take them to a movie. Or maybe you'll actually do the dishes. But if you can't handle cable TV, be a Jesus freak and get rid of it. I'm not some old fogey. I'm all for TV. I'm all for good movies. I'm all for all that stuff. But if you got stuff that you can't handle and you know it's bad and you can't say no to the bad stuff, then just remove it. How much do you love him? God says, man, if it comes down to it, if it had to be, I'd rather you be blind and then come enjoy all the pleasures I'm going to give you one day than to go through life with your eyes and lose me. If you got to block internet sites or you got to set it up so somebody gets your history every time you go somewhere, do it. If you've got to tell the crowd you're with, I love you guys, but I love God more and I hope you come with me, but I cannot hang out with you anymore because you know what we're going to do. And I'm not against you. You're awesome. But I know when I'm with you, this is what I'm going to do and it's going to hurt me. And I don't want to be away from my God because my God's a lot bigger and a lot better than what we've got here. Come with me. But if you won't, I got to leave this crowd. I can't do this anymore. You know how many people that you would say that to that are looking for something to believe in because the way they're living, they're just trying to find something worthwhile in life. You know how many people would stand up and say, wow, they found something. I might want to try that if it's that important. If you'll leave this, if you'll quit doing this, much fun as we're having, maybe there's something to that. Walk away. You don't get this, I have a I'm better than you. You're beneath me. I'm leaving you now. Go away. You need to be shot. You have a, I love you with all I'm worth. Man, I found somebody that loves me so much. I found a purpose. We have missed it. Come with me. But if you don't, I can't stay in this hellhole with you. I got to stop this. I got something so much more important in life. And he's awesome. And he's big. And he made me. And he made you. And he's the reason we're here. And it's better than this. Come with me. But if you won't, I got to go. That's the way you have to do it. And then don't give up on them. From the other side, you don't hang out. You don't do the water bong. You don't shoot up heroin. You don't get drunk every Saturday. You just call every now and then and say, man, I still love you. Boy, I miss you. Sure wish you'd come do what I'm doing. Try my drug. I used to have a buddy that would take his TV out of his room every time he went to a hotel because he knew what he'd do. That's Jesus freak. You do what you got to do because you love God. But you just remove yourself from it. Be a chicken. Understand and be honest. Number five, never assume you're safe. I could sit here and tell you guys, I've been married 30 years and we've always had the best of love and trust. And I got no problems. And as soon as I drop my guard, what's going to happen next week? You'll see me on the people's court. Brenda leaving me and taking everything I got. Walking away with $723 and a cat. She'll leave the cat. You're right. I'll have the cat. Scriptures say this with so much wisdom. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. And I love my wife. When she's talking to me, she's like, when I have my insecure moments, I know you don't believe that. Being the studly man that I am, to think that I would ever be insecure. But it's like every other day. It's like, don't leave me, honey. Her answer is, there's not another man that I look at, thanks be to God, and tomorrow he'll keep me the same way. She always tells me that. And that makes me worry even more. What? You mean you might? No, not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that only by the power of God does he keep me walking right, and I have to trust him every day or I can fall tomorrow. Don't you dare think you got anything licked ever a day in your life because you've had a good track record in your life. Because the minute that creeps up, you're human. You're just as human as anybody else, and you'll fall on your butt tomorrow. So you stay ever vigilant and understand you're always capable of the worst. And you leave it in God's hands and you stay humble. And if you learn to be faithful in the small things while it's even still here, what happens is your life really does become kind of a song to God. You really are living and walking for him. And when he sees the innermost being in you trying your best, even though you fall sometimes, to be totally in the game just to show him you love him, he will bring himself to you in ways you've never experienced him before. But you're not going to get any further until you do. Now, people, I'm just going to be honest with you for a second. And this is me letting my hair down. And I mean it in love. And I know that I fall too. But in honesty, and I'm not talking about people that fail. I'm talking about people that live right where I'm getting ready to say. Live there on purpose. Not people that just fall. Okay? In my 10 years of ministry, nothing has made me sometimes want to give up more. Or getting more sick and tired of being in the ministry, if you could ever do that, because I never will, but moments of just, oh, I'm done, than to have people that claim to know Christ and give all the hoopla and all the glory and all the praise, and they talk the talk and they walk the walk, and then I find out that they are just harboring the worst sin in their life. And they are totally happy with it. That's what gets me. Not that they're broken. If they were broken, I'm okay. They're totally happy with their dual life. Totally happy still doing what they're doing because nobody knows about it. And yet they walk in here week after week and sit right here. Some of you might do this very thing. You sit here and smile, and yet you go home and you purposefully, by choice, continue a crazy life that you know would hurt God and destroy you if anybody found out. And you walk right back in here tomorrow or next week because nobody knows, and you continue to play the game and you holler louder than anybody. If anything would make me sick and surely make God sick, it's that. He would rather you go to hell in a handbasket and holler and have fun on your sleigh ride down the hill than to play that game. Why? Why would you do it? Why you got to play that game? Just go. What happens is, this is why I hate it. Listen to me. Listen. If you're telling me how you want to love God and how He's going to be your everything and you understand He created it all and yet He still came and died for you and you want to be His all, and then you go off and do whatever you want to behind everybody's back just so you can keep a good image, you don't give a hoot about God. And if you do think that you're following Him, you've turned Him into your own little mold of a cheap piece of junk imitation. Because if that's all He's worth, He ain't God. You got the wrong one. You've turned Him into nothing. If He's God, He's worth you giving your all or nothing. If you will purposefully harbor everything in your heart just to see what you can get away with, not only will you self-destruct, but you don't give a hoot about Him, and you've turned Him into something cheap. So either get out of the game and walk out the door and shut your mouth about Him and do us all a big favor, or get real and decide He's worth it. And really, if it rips your guts out, give your everything to Him because He's worth it. And holy moly, I'm going to pass out. But I mean it. It's sickening to cheapen Him that much and just purposefully live in sin. Some of you will fight sin. You'll fight a certain particular problem half the rest of your life, maybe to your dying days, but doggone, you're fighting it in love. That's wonderful. I can deal with you all day. Fight it. We'll fight it together. And I'll smack you and you smack me and we'll hug each other back and we'll keep going. But the minute you just surrender to it, I can do it and I can play this game and I can have what I want and I can play Jesus too. There ain't no playing Jesus. And it's sickening. And I'm telling you, please stay in the flock. But if that's all you're going to do, please go away. Stop. Don't need you. Rather have 10 people and then be real. I don't give a hoot about numbers. You ain't going to pay me anymore. You ain't going to pay me any less. But that's how real you got to be, people. You see Jesus as a cheap, moldable lie. You don't understand Scripture and you got no real love in your heart. And you don't realize it. The problem is most of us have been taught that it's okay because everybody else does it and you don't even realize you're doing it. And you don't love Him. If you want to see God working in an awesome way, you got to deal with this. This is a picture of where most of us are. We got a big old wall and we're trying to get to God. If you will be honest and tell God, I've been playing games. I really have this. I've got stuff in me that's become a part of who I am and I want it over you. You got to help me. Then that's what He'll do. There's not a person in here. If we got somebody that's been claiming Christ their whole life, and yet they're a drunkard, heroin-using womanizer on the side, God still adores you and follows you around, and He's long-suffering, hoping that one day you're just going to get with it and really, really, really choose Him, and He will come running and embrace you and not think one more time about what happened yesterday, and you will be on top of His list. He's not some awful, judgmental brute. I'm telling you all of this to make you realize He wants you to see that you're the brute. He wants you to see that you're the one that's standing there throwing lightning bolts at Him, saying you don't need Him even though you don't know it. He wants you to know that you're the one throwing Him out. He's not throwing you out. You're proving you don't want Him. Come to Jesus in your heart. Give up what you've been holding on to. And you're going to find so much more. But I'm asking you this. I'm asking you to be honest with God and be broken and be humble and just admit it and do anything you have to give that spot in your heart back to Him that you're hiding right now? Or just be open enough to come out and live the way you're really living in your heart anyway and go away? Because we want to serve an awesome, loving, merciful God. We don't want to play games and cheapen Him. You know where you are. I don't care if I never hear from you about where you were and you get it right with Jesus. Get it right. Stop it. I know the world we're living in. I know you're infected. I know some of you got to deal with this. Do it. Because the fact is, sitting here in church is not going to get you to heaven. It has nothing to do with it. All your good acting. Does He have your heart? Do what you got to do, one way or the other. But get out of this ninjutsu sinning. It's not going to do anything for you. It's going to kill you. Let's stand for prayer.